Great is your name, O Lord God. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord God. And dear Lord, we lift your name on high, even as we have, O God, in song today. Dear Lord, even as our spirit, dear Lord, has been prepared, O Lord God, for what you, dear Lord, have for us, O Lord God, for this season and for such a time as this. And so, Father, this morning, as we lift our hands up to you, dear Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, that you would have your God-like way here today. Dear Lord, be glorified, be honored, dear Lord, as you are so worthy, O Lord God. Dear Lord, so let the very words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. Dear Lord, let me say what you want me to say, O Lord God, and how you would have me to say it. Dear Lord, this is my desire, O Lord God, that I bring glory to your name, dear Lord, and not anything else. So, Lord God, be glorified here today in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. And, you know, I want to just take this time and just tell you that, you know, in pastor's absence, then first I want to thank him for just entrusting the competent staff that he has, not me, but Pastor Gloria and Pastor Ken, you know, with this pulpit to come before you and deliver the word that God has given us. For this period in time. And so, and we don't take that lightly, you know, because Pastor is charged with overseeing, you know, the very souls of those, you know, who are here. And so I want to just take the time and just honor the man of God and just to say thank you for that, for this opportunity. And more so than that, you know, today is his birthday. So we want to just say happy birthday to Pastor, you know, Ware this morning, and let him know that we, you know, that we thank God for him. And so happy birthday, Pastor, and we look forward to seeing you next week by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. And welcome to those of you who are joining us online. We welcome you, and we tell you thank you so much, you know, for joining us. And, you know, the service could not be any more richer if you were here in your very physical presence. So we do thank each and every one of you out there for joining in with us and receiving what the Word of God has to say for this hour. This morning, saints, I'd like for us to turn to the book of Samuel's, 1 Samuel's, and we're going to read just a few verses here in the 21st chapter. And as you are turning to the book of Samuel, then I also want you to, you know, to also mark a place in the book of Psalms, Psalms 142. We're going to spend our time between those two passages of scripture today. And, you know, and we pray more so than anything else that you receive what I believe that the Lord is saying to those of us that are going through some situations in life. So when we have it, when we have 1 Samuel 21, say amen. Amen. We still need a little bit more time. A little bit more time. All right. All right. 1 Samuel 21. And it says this. David went, it says, I'm sorry. I didn't mean 21. 22. Yes. Thank you. I mean 1 Samuel 22. It says this: David fled from the city of Gath and went to a cave near the town of Adullam. When his brothers and the rest of the family heard that he was there, they joined him. People who were oppressed or in debt or dissatisfied went to him, about 400 men in all, and they became, and he became their leaders. Verse 3. David went on from there to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come and stay with you until I find out what God is going to do for me." So David left his parents with the king of Moab, and they stayed there as long as David was hiding in the cave. Verse 5. Then the prophet Gad came to David and said, "Don't stay here. Go at once to the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. Our text this morning in 1 Samuel 22nd chapter is going to focus on, I had in your notes verses 1-3, but even as I was reading over it again yesterday and this morning, I should have said verses 1-5, simply because in the last couple of verses, then it speaks to a very powerful point. And so if I would tell you anything that my text, the text, but the theme of the text would be, we've been saying this for the past year or so, and I want to just say it again, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. And part of that whole theme is knowing when your moment is. Part of that whole theme of, don't missing your moment is, it's applicable to every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. It just so happens that today we're talking about your cave situation. Your cave situation. There are some of us that might be going through a difficult time. What the cave situations are, those difficult times that just kind of drive you instead of you driving it. That's why you have to make sure that you are called rather than driven. That's why you have to make sure that you, as Pastor Ken said, that you remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the faith. I believe that in 1775, I think it was Thomas Paine who said that these are the times that try men's soul. He said that on the eve, about 6 months or so before Great Britain, before the British soldiers began, their march here in the continental United States to take the states back under the rule of the king. He said that he penned these words. He said, "These are the times that try men's soul." He said, "But if you stand, if that man stands, if that woman stands in these times, then he or she deserves the love and admiration of everyone, of every man and woman." Because he knew this. He said that tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. It's not easily conquered. I want to just stop with that quote right there because I can go on as well. Let me just finish up. He said, "Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered." He said, "But we have this consolation." If I remember history correct, he said, "But we have this consolation. This consolation is that, you know, we know this, that the harder the conflict, the greater the triumph. The harder the conflict, the greater the triumph, the greater the victory. That's what we're talking about here. Whatever situation that you find yourself in, we could say, we could take what Thomas Paine was saying back in 1775 is applicable to today. These are the times right here that try men's soul. That try your mind, your will, your emotion, that keeps you off focus, that keeps you off balance, that keeps you all riled up and all consumed about everything except for what is the right thing. These are the times that try men's soul. These are the times. These are the times that try you to the point that you want to just throw in the towel. After being hit by bombshell after bombshell after bombshell, you want to just say, well, Lord, when is it going to end? I mean, you know, it seems like you're talking about war on one hand, and then you're talking about peace on the other hand. It seems like you're talking about deficit on one hand, and then you're talking about surplus on the other hand. It seems like you're talking about bounty in one minute, and then you're talking about lack in the next minute. These are the times that try men's soul. That's just on the national level. Now, if we're talking about our own home level, our own personal situations, despite whatever else is going on in the country and in the world, we got situations that are driving us. We got situations that are driving us, that are tempting us to just throw it in. Just want to go in your house sometimes when you're faced with these situations, you know, and just lock the door. Don't want to go out. These are the times that try men's soul. I tell you, I get excited every time I see a lot of you, but particularly every time I see Brother Calvin and Sister Tia and Brother Ed. I get excited about them because they've been through hell and high water. They can tell you. Each one of them can tell you. Just what Thomas Paine said was true. Tyranny. See, the thing about it is this. When the devil began, when situations began to come at you, full strength, that's tyranny. I'm just trying to tell you, that is tyranny. It terrorizes you. He begins to come at you. I'm telling you, it is tempted to drive you into the cave. And so whenever I see these brothers and this sister, I do get excited. Because see, what we forget right here, that there are miracles that are going on right in our midst. If these brothers and this sister can tell you their story, if they could tell you their story, you'd be like, oh my God, I didn't even see that one coming. I didn't even know that that was really what was going on. Each one of them will tell you, and I haven't even talked to them about this. Each one of them will tell you that it was God that brought me through this situation. That it was God that brought me out of that cave. When despair and depression was all around me, it was Him that brought me out. Let's turn to Psalms 142 real quick. Let's just flip over there. Because I want to tell you this. I want to just kind of just break it down to you. Now you have the backdrop. You have the backdrop of where David was. David was in a cave. He was in a serious situation. He was fleeing for his life. That's the backdrop. But this is what he said in Psalms 142. He said this. He said, I call to the Lord for help. I plead with him. Stop right there. What he said really is this. David said, I cry aloud. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at David. We're going to look at David's life when he was going through a very difficult situation. David said, I cry aloud. In your notes, that's what I have. I cry aloud. And really what it really means is it just ain't meaning no ordinary shout out. It ain't meaning that. It's meaning I bellow. I holler, if you will. I'm screaming, if you will. Because the pain gets so intense when you're going through a situation that you are just about to lose your mind. And it's about to get ugly up in here because honestly, there are situations that I have faced in my life that if I didn't feel the relief of just hollering out, I would have lost my mind. I mean, I commend you that you have gone through life and you haven't faced these type of challenges. I do. I commend you. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Emmanuel can tell you as well. He can tell you that through hell and high water, God was there. If you don't holler out sometimes, you won't get that relief. I'm just trying to tell you. He wants you to holler. I mean, in the Hebrew, it says, you know, it really means to just shriek. Your cry is so harsh, it's so deafening, that it really caused a shrill almost, if someone hears. In 2003, I go back to that. I haven't been through something since then, but vividly in 2003, we were going through some of the most hellish stuff, you know, in life. It really was. It was a terrible time for me and the family. Well, family was going on, but for me, it was terrible. Because I could put on a facade and paint the picture, you know, okay, well, it's just something that we have to encounter and, you know, we're going to go on through it and we're going to get through it. You know, that's what I'd said by day. But let me tell you something. One day it got so bad. It got so bad one day. One night I got up in the middle of the night. You've heard me tell this story before. I got up in the middle of the night, went into our bedroom closet, grabbed my clothes and put over my mouth just to holler out because the pain was just that bad. It got so bad. Lenny Williams said it got so bad one time that all I could do was just roll myself up in a great big old ball and die. That's what I felt like. See, because I wanted to be close to the Lord and I wanted to hear from him right away. So what David is saying right here and right now, see, David has lost his self-esteem. David has lost his position of honor. He's lost his position of respect. And to compound problems worse, to compound it even worse, he got 400 other folks with all sorts of problems. Nothing in this scripture said anything about anybody that had plenty, anybody that was in good spirit. It said everything bad. 400 of those jokers. Coming with you, coming to you. It's already bad enough that you're in a cave. It's already bad enough that you got your situation to deal with. And then here comes somebody else. Well, come on. You know it's true. It's like you're saying, I ain't got no time to rest. Can't somebody pity me? Anybody, come on. Somebody. That's the truth. But he had 400 of those jokers coming to him. 400. He can't even grieve his own situation. But sometimes, and yeah, and I've been there. Been there, done that, got a t-shirt. You don't get a t-shirt unless you stay through the whole conference. And I'm telling you, got a t-shirt. And you want relief now. That's why David was crying out. That's why he was crying out aloud. And I used to wonder sometimes, I used to say, why in the world do I have to pray and tell the Lord my situation if he know everything? I'm just telling you where I was. I'm just telling you where I was. I've learned the reason why, but I'm just telling you where I was on this. I know y'all don't question, you know, anything that you go through. Y'all don't even ask the Lord these hard type questions, these real questions, you know, but I tell you the truth, I do. I do, I do, I do. And sometimes I get shamed, you know, for asking the question, but he can take it. He can take it. He knows right where you are, and he can take it. He knew everything about you from the beginning to the end. He knew that you were going to ask this question. And I asked the question. Why? I don't know why. Why do I have to pray? If you know everything, then there's no sense in me praying. You're going to do what you're going to do. I mean, you know, and that's what I said. But Hosea 14 did a whole lot to take my mind, to put my mind at ease. And that was, when I read Hosea 14, then I began to see, Hosea 14, 1, 2, I think. I said, oh, okay. So he wants me to take words with me. You have to speak these things out. Sometimes the only relief that you can get is when you speak, when you hear what situation is going on. If we're gonna get from under the situations that's overwhelming us, we got to be honest with God. We have got to be honest with God. I'm just trying to tell you, and some of us, we pray these rote prayers, you know, even in our own private time, and we pray these rote prayers, and we just don't have room, you know, to really take the crust off of really what really is the problem. What really is ailing us? What really is driving us into these caves? What really is the problem? Whether it's, you know, lack of finances, whether it's, you know, trouble with your children, whether it's trouble with your spouse, whether it's trouble with your family, whether it's trouble anywhere. What is driving you into these caves of life? We don't want to be honest about it. And because we don't want to be honest about it, we can't get the breakthrough. We can't get the relief that we so desperately need. David said, I cried aloud to him. He said, I cried out. I cried out. Because it was just that intense. Saints, I'm trying to tell you that sometimes, it's all right. It's all right to just lose your mind with the Lord. It's all right to do that. Because that's what he wants. He wants you to be honest with him because he already knows your situation. And you know, the thing about it is when you're in that cave, you can see everything out there. But they can't see everything in the cave. That's the thing about it. So people can't help you because they don't know the depths of your cave. They don't know how far you are back in that situation. You are so far back in there. You can see the light, but you ain't moving to it. You know that there's an answer, but you can't move to it. You can't get to it fast enough. And it's just like that, it seems like, with the situation of God. seem like that is the way it is with the Lord. You know he has the answer. David knew he had the answer. David knew that the Lord had the answer. And David said, I know that you have the answer. But he went on down, down, down in his despair. And some of us are in a tough place today. Some of us have been through some tough times in life. And the only thing that you want to do is be close to the Lord. I can hear, you know, I can hear Fred Hammond singing, you know, he said, you know, just to be close to you. Just to be close to you, that's the desire that you have. But you know what? As much as I love Fred Hammond and I love that song, Just to Be Close to You, I love the one by the Commodores that's back in 1976 that says, just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. And he starts out just rapping. You know, he just starts out. He just said, you know. Yeah, he did. He just said, he said, you know, I've been up so high that I didn't think I needed anyone. He said, and then I've been down real low where nobody needed me. He said, but I found out that material things and things that I thought had so much value, they didn't have any value at all. He said, then I met you, girl, and he said, you know, but even before that, but then I was a lonely man. A man with no direction, with no purpose. With no one to love and no one to love me for me. But then you came into my life, girl, you made my, come on, that's what he said. See, sometimes you just need to rap to the Lord like that. Huh? That's what you need to do. And then he just broke out and said, just to be close to you, girl. Just for the moment, baby. Just for an hour. That's what we need sometimes, just to be close to the Lord. Just for a moment. Just for an hour. He can make your direction so clear. He can make your reason for living. You are his reason. I mean, you know, he becomes your reason for living. Like I said, I love, you know, Fred Hammond with, you know, I just want to be close to you. But Lionel Richie and the Commodores laid it all out. I mean, that's really where the rubber meets the road. Just to be close to you. You made my jagged edges smooth. You made my, I mean, really. That's what he said. Whoop. Oh, girl, you became my reason, my purpose for living. You're my heart. You're my soul. You're my stone inspiration, baby. That's what you need sometimes to do with the Lord. You got to get real with him. If you're going to get delivered, if you're going to get a breakthrough, you got to get delivered and you got to be real with him. That's all I'm telling you. That's what it's all about. If you're going to get delivered, you got to get real with him. You got to get honest with him. And I can tell you, just like it is in the physical, it's the same way in the spiritual. Come on. I tell my wife some stuff like that. Come on. What? Anything I want. Just to be close to you. That's all we need sometimes, just to be close to the Lord. David said, you know, it's difficult. He said, Lord, he said, receive my prayer as incense. That's what he said at one time. He said, Lord, because this really is a prayer. He said, receive my prayer as incense. And see, when you can't do anything else, when you can't even do anything but groan, you know, we have the Holy Ghost that interprets that. It says, oh, I think he means this. This is what he's trying to say. He interprets our very groans. That's when we want to get close to the Lord. That's when we are laying everything out. Because if we don't do it, then we're just going to lose our mind all up in here. David went on to say in verse 2, he says, I bring him all my complaints. He wants you to be honest with him. He just wants you to just lay it out to you. He said, I tell him my troubles. Troubles. Troubles just means that he was all bound up. He was all wrapped up. And you know, in the Hebrew again, then, you know, when they're talking about trouble, then they're talking about you being in a narrow space. You being cramped up. You being balled up in a knot. Your problems have got you so wrapped up and balled up that you just can't seem to get out of it. No matter how someone comes to you and tell you, a man, woman, snap out of it. Come on. It's going to be all right. At that point in that in your life, in that trouble, you don't see any way out of this situation. And you can't fathom how it can get any worse. And then those 400 other jokers start talking to you. Start telling you. It says he had malcontents. He had broke, busted, disgusted people. And they were coming to him. David had known what leadership was. He had known what it was like to have men and women look up to him. Really, from the very time that he was anointed. Have the Lord promised you something years ago that you still haven't seen come to fruition? This is what David is struggling with right now. But Lord, you anointed me. You anointed me as king of Israel. You anointed me. I haven't done anything but serve this man. I haven't done anything but try to do what's best for the whole nation. I haven't tried to usurp his authority. I haven't tried to do anything except what was good for him and what was good for the kingdom. Some of you might be in that situation right now, that you haven't done anything to warrant the situation that you're in. You haven't done anything to warrant the calamity that has befallen you. In fact, you've tried to do everything that the Lord has told you to do. He's given you a promise, and you are holding on to that. And sometimes it gets dim, but you're holding on to that. I'm telling you, saints, that's where he was. Can you imagine being anointed to be king? And then now you're living. You know what it's like to have a touch of it. You know, a touch of living in the palace as a warrior, but now you're his adversary for no reason at all, and you're driven into a cave. Ain't nothing good happen in a cave. Nothing. Nothing. And this is where David finds himself, and he says, look, I'm making my petitions known. And then it goes on and says in verse 3, when I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. In the path where I walk, my enemies have hidden traps. It just gets worse, right? It just gets worse. Not only is he in a cave with 400 other dudes that's just as bad, as that's in as bad a funk as he's in, right? Not only is he in a cave with four other bad persons, so 401 people that are in that cave, with all sorts of problems that's going on. Out of all of that, as bad as it is in the cave, it's even worse outside. because Saul is tracking him. That's what he said. He said his enemies had laid traps for him. He got spies everywhere, you know? He got spies everywhere. He's laid a trap for him. It's a setup. He's laid a trap for him. So as bad as it is in the cave, it's even worse outside. Have you ever been in that situation where, you know it's bad here, but then if where you're thinking about going, you can say, well, it's even worse over there. Well, I have. I've been in that situation. And that's the truth of the matter. As bad as it was in the situation that I was in, it was even worse somewhere else. You know, and honestly, station break. That's why I don't have a whole lot of patience for brothers that go out and cheat on their wives. I really don't. I really don't. Because I'm saying, if it's so bad at home, what you think you're going to find out here? I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out. I mean, you know, you think it's bad. You think it's bad at home. But wait till you get with that chick there. And when she start having to wash your clothes, when she start having to feed you whatever else, when you start slacking up on paying the bills, wait. Wait. If you think that this is bad, wait. When you start paying the bills for Miss Look So Good to have her nails done every day, you got to have her hair done every 2 days. She got to go shopping every day. And your paycheck ain't long enough. You think it's bad here? All right. Wait. Just wait. Just wait. If that situation in the cave is so bad, if that situation in your cave is so bad, you look out, and then you look out and you find that the situation outside is even worse, what else are you gonna do but call on the name of the Lord? What else are you gonna do but say, Lord, this is what I need? That's what David said. That's what he began to say in verses 5 and 6. David said, hey, listen, Lord. He said, Lord, I cry to you for help. You, Lord, are my protector. You are all I want in this life. Listen to my cry for help, for I am sunk in despair. Save me from my enemies, that they are, save me from my enemies. They are too strong for me. David had to remind himself. He had to look. If you're going to get out of this situation, if you're going to get out of this situation, you're going to have to remind yourself. You're going to have to remember the things that God has given you, the things that God has promised you. You're going to have to remember the faithfulness of God, that if he did it yesterday, he's going to do it again. You're going to have, in the midst of you, in the midst of David's talking about his all his situation, all his complaint, he said, Lord, I really want you to change this situation. But now I see a shift that David is having. The shift that David is having is now, let me change, Lord, change my mind. Change my mind. That's really what 5 and 6 is saying. Lord, change my mind here. Now I'm changing my mind about this thing. My attitude might not have changed yet. Because you want to do harm to those that have done harm to you. Well, okay. Station, that was me. I didn't mean to put that on you. I know what the word of God says, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Yeah, I got that. I got that. But Lord knows, as I'm standing right here right now, I do have those that I got to just, I want to get to. If I could get to them, I would do some harm to them. That's the truth. Now, I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, so pray my strength in the Lord, as the old folks used to say. But I be delivered from this, because Lord knows. or knows. I mean, you know, when you do me wrong, when you do my family wrong, but particularly when you do me wrong, I want to get to you. I really do. So that's just me. But the Lord knows this. He knows this about me. And I told people in the wake of a whole lot of things that happened this year in the company, I told people, I said, well, you know, for 10 years, you guys have enjoyed Mike, right? That's not my name. My name is really Michael. And I told y'all before, when Michael shows up, there's always war going on up in there. In the Bible, when Michael shows up, it's biblical. I'm just telling you what's in the book. What's in the book? The book says it, that tells you. The book tells you. It tells you. When Michael shows up, there's war going on up in there. Daniel said, Gabriel told Daniel, he said, listen, you know, he said, I heard you when you first started praying. He said, but I was detained by the prince of Persia until Michael showed. So I told them, I had to introduce them. I said, okay, you're thinking that you're talking to Mike. I just want to introduce you to Michael. Michael is not the one that tried to get along with anyone. Michael is not the one that's going to always try to make you comfortable. Michael is not that one. That's Mike. That dude's gone now. Now you're dealing with Michael. And it's been a whole different attitude. It's no more, let me just bring this to him and he'll correct it. No, you fix it. You messed it up. You fixed it. What's wrong with you? This is finance. This is what finance does here. We don't clean up your mess. You get over there. Get in place. All right, this is different now. Well, you know, we got this situation but I was thinking about, whoa. Whereas used to be, Mike would just say, okay, well, that sounds good. We'll see how we can make it work. Michael, wait. What are you doing? That doesn't even make sense. Then they're not even used to even knowing how to deal with that. They don't know how to respond to that because they have never seen Michael. Now, you know, whereas Mike used to say, okay, well, yeah, we'll let that pass, you know, we'll let that go. Michael says, go back and get it right. Don't bring that in here. Get on. You know. That's Mike. That's Michael. Michael's a whole different character. I mean, my point here is that at some point, you have got to begin to do war correctly. That's my point. After you remember the things of God, if we're going to get from under the situation that we're in, we're going to have to remember what God promised us. We're going to have to remember that his promises are yes and amen. We're going to have to remember that he is faithful to see it, that he that started this good work in you will be faithful to see it through to completion. You're going to have to remember that. Amen. You're going to have to remember that and apply that to your life. To make it simple, to even make it even more, to put it right where the cookies, where the children can get the cookies is this, and this is say this. You remember that time that he brought you through this? You remember that time that he brought you through that? Do you remember that? That's what you have to recall on. Do you remember that time when your favor was so great? Do you remember that time when it all was going good for you? That everything that you did were coming up roses. Do you remember that time? You're walking in the favor of God then. Do you remember that time? That's what you have to recall. You have to recall the time that you came to the house and that you praised the Lord, you know, without reservation. You have to remember the times when you said, yeah, he's under my feet. You have to remember the time that says victory is mine, victory today is mine. You have to remember what God said about you. You have to remember that you see yourself the way God sees you. That you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You have to remember what he said, that the enemies will come at you one way, but they're going to flee from you seven. That's what you have to remember. If you're going to get out of that situation, we have to remember first. And after we remember, after we have been honest with the Lord, after we have remembered all that the Lord has done for us, we have to commit. We have to commit our time, talent, and treasure. We have to commit to being prayerful about the situation that he's given us to do. We have to commit to that. And we have to remember, we have to say exactly what David said. David said in verse 7, like I said, his mind started to change. His mind started to change. And he said, he started speaking what the situation will be. David said this. He said, set me free from my distress. Then in the assembly of your people, I will praise you because your goodness to me. Because of your goodness to me. What it really means, literally, what he's really saying is, he said, I will remember those things that you did for me. And because of that, because I will remember, I'm going to rejoice just like I'm on the other side. I'm going to rejoice just like it's a better day anyway. I'm going to rejoice anyway. See, because after that, and this is what parallels right into 1 Samuel 22, verse 5. It parallels in that it says that the prophet Gad came to David and told him to leave the stronghold. You see, you can make your caves your stronghold. Can't nobody help you. And you can die in your cave. You can die in your state of depression. You can die in your darkness. You can die in your brokenness. You can die in your affliction. You can die and whatever it else is driving you into that cave, that it ain't gonna get no better. That's when it becomes a stronghold. And you have made it a resolution that it's not gonna get any better. You fortified yourself for the long haul, that it's gonna be just like this forever until you die. Because a change is coming. But the prophet spoke to David and told him, hey, listen, leave this stronghold and go to Judah. Let me tell you why that's so profound with what is going on in, you know, in chapter 142, verse 7. It's so profound because he told him to go to Judah. And in verse 7, he said, I will praise you. Come on. If we're going to get out of the situations that we're in, if we're going to get out of the situations that life has driven us into the caves about, not only are we going to have to remember, not only are we going to have to commit, but the thing that we're going to really have to do is we're going to have to praise our way out of that situation. Somebody, come on, somebody. He said, I'm going to praise you. He said, the prophet said, go to Judah. Judah is what? The king is what? The tribe of what?
Praise.
What is it? I can't hear you.
Praise.
It's the tribe of
praise.
Go to Judah. Go to Judah. Go there and praise. Go and get your praise on. Praise him like it's already done. Praise him like the situation, that the storm is already passed over. Praise him like you're already, you know, well in your body. Praise him like you already have sound mind. Praise him like your bank account is full and overflowing. Praise him that you are saying, hey, listen, I am the lender and not the borrower. Praise him in those situations. Praise him that says that I am the head and not the tail. Yeah, praise him in those situations. Praise him that says that I am more, I am an overcomer. That's what you want to do. Praise him like that. Praise him on the other side. Praise him. Praise him. Let's stand to your feet, everybody. Praise him. I like what Adele used to say. She said, hello from the other side. Hello from the other side. Praise look good on the other side. Why can praise can't be good now in your cave, in your situation? Why can praise can't be now? Why come it can't be good now? Start to praise him and get your breakthrough. That's the only way that we're going to get out of these caves that we have ourselves in. The Lord wants to deliver you. He wants to do it just like he did it for David. But even before he's done it from David, he's done it for you in your life. Like I said, you can look at Brother Ed. You can look at Brother Calvin. You can look at Brother Emmanuel, Sister Tia. You can look at them. Ask them what their story is. Ask them, didn't the Lord bring them through? Ask them, didn't the Lord bring? And you know, the thing about it is when he brings you through, you know, you begin to look different. You begin to walk different. You begin to talk different. Your mind is already different. True story. Because of the work that the Lord had done in Calvin. Me and Brother Calvin go way back. Because of the Lord, of the work that he had done in Brother Calvin, I almost didn't recognize him. Sometimes life can work on you, but it changes you. When Sister Tia came back, we didn't even recognize her. Brother, am I telling the truth? I'm just telling the truth. Because, you see, the thing about it is she left out broken. She was broken, and she was on the verge of healing. But she came back whole, different person, because of what the Lord had done. Brother Calvin said, listen, I might have been through it. I might have been down, and I might have been out for a little while. He said, but I'm back now. He said, and the Lord has brought me here for a reason. He said, I know this. He said, essentially what he said, he said, Brother Michael, I know my Redeemer lives. Essentially. That's what he's saying. Every time I see him. Yes, every time I see him. I love this brother. Because I know what the Lord has brought him through. You might suffer some loss sometime. You might suffer some affliction sometime. But if your desire is to get a closer look at what the Lord wants you to do, then you're going to have to remember. And you're going to have to say, just like you've heard Pastor Max saying so many times, that you'll reap a harvest in due season if you don't faint. But I take it a little bit step farther and I say this. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living today. Saints, let's come to the altar. Let's pray.